Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show. It is the comeback episode. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. That's all I got to say. It's DK Show 1 on Twitter. Also, you can catch me on Instagram, warrior-fit. That is my fitness that I spread across Tallahassee, Florida, and Florida in general. Definitely follow it. It is following all the martial arts out there. And in general, just stay fit, ladies and gentlemen. And also, American fitness. That's what we're all about. Screw Muay Thai. Screw Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's all about good old America. American fitness. That's all I got to say. On today's show, we're going to bounce around. We're going to talk a lot of MMA, catch up with some news, and maybe some other sports in there as well. As I have a ghetto chopper going over my head, I have no idea what this helicopter is doing. Literally, it is just so low to the ground. I feel like it's trying to shoot somebody. I have no idea. I feel like I'm in a war zone. This is ground zero of Tallahassee, right by the stadium. I mean, I've heard, actually, this new girl at work told me that it gets so crazy around here during game days that she parked her car on the side of the road and went to drive it the next day, and someone actually put alcohol in her gas tank, and her car did not work. Yes, it is a city of champions and motherfucking crazy people. Yes, folks, welcome back. It's the Bloody Knuckles Show. With me tonight is Mr. Paychecks himself, Mr. Don't Give a Fuck, Mr. Slap Your Mama in the Butt, Mr. Nate Diaz, say Dana White. What? We ain't having a meeting. Mr. The fact is, you all are chumps. He's a lion. You are hyenas or zebras. He is feeding. Yes, he is the man. He taught Boss Rootin' the kicks, and he didn't give no shits. He's Mr. 319. Yes, we all miss him there. He's a wine connoisseur. He will get your girl on the floor. Plus the fat goddamn. In this community, he's respected. And he is the T-Rex to you little bitch dinosaurs. It is Andrew, Mr. Percy Love. Meredith, what's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what a do. What an intro. Very happy to be back. And, folks, you know, I do apologize. The long hiatus was probably due to me. I just got caught up, got real busy. And I have to say, Ryan, I appreciate that 319 shot because I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I do miss it. You know, for those who don't know, you know, now I'm in the corporate lifestyle, slinging payroll, and sometimes I miss just working in a shop, man, and not sitting at a cubicle all day and having to play the corporate game and put on the corporate smile.
319,
the corporate
we're doing big things. We're doing big things.
Conversation for another time. But very excited, Ryan, very excited. You know, and I do like it. I think it's funny, you know, Ryan, broadcasting from the heart of Tallahassee, I myself broadcasting from the heart of Rochester, or I'll at least say the non-ghetto heart. There's like two hearts in Rochester. There's the inner crescent, or like Rochester's like a giant U, and then there's the inner crescent in it, and that is just one of the worst places in the world. Avenue D, Hudson, shooting, stabbings every day. And then, of course, where I'm at, Park Ave, we'll just call it White People's Paradise. Everyone graduates and moves down here and goes to the bars. So, broadcasting from white people land. But anyways,
I do have to make a shout out. Plans are in motion. I said this before in the past, but if you haven't been a part of it, definitely join our Facebook group. You can find it under Bloody Knuckle Show.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get it sparked. I'm trying to get my Twitter followers over there. It's a little bit hard. They got to find me. It's very difficult. But there's also another, group. It's something hand. It's about boxing, basically.
Boxing
Junkie, something like that. It's very you know, the group is very active to where I have fucking like 5 notices, 10 notices every time I look up. And the Bloody Knuckles show will be plucking one of the talents from that group. We'll see soon who will be to have on as a, you know, special guest, you know, special co-host every once in a while for a Bloody Knuckles show boxing edition. Look out for football editions coming very soon. And also all other things, you know, movies, conspiracy theories. We're still trying to get that moving too.
Even news, Ryan, I got to say this real quick. It's kind of messed up. Someone died. Funniest thing I ever saw. Woman who proclaimed herself as the Tiger Whisperer mauled to death by tigers. I'm sorry.
That always happens. These animal experts, like the lady who dressed her chimpanzee up in a diaper and gave it Xanax, all of a sudden got her friend mauled by her fucking pet monkey. This is why I don't even go near fucking raccoons. Animals are not to be trusted.
No, sir. But, Ryan, diving into it, and you had a great idea to start the show off. For all the longtime listeners, they know what this is. Rapid fire, real question style. Me and Ryan can just ask a couple questions real quick. Probe out there,
sure.
Give an answer. So question one, Ryan, to kick it off.
Questions each, just 5 questions, baby. Let's go.
So, question one I have for you, I was thinking about it today. I was kind of surprised by this. So, Stipe, and we'll see where it ends, opened up as either a 3-1 favorite or 4-1 favorite against Alistair Overeem for the belt in Cleveland at UFC 203. Now, Ryan, the fact that it is Cleveland, I do see, you know, with their luck, someone could make some money. But if you're a betting man, who are you betting on and why?
It's tough. I'm looking at, you know, what Overeem has done lately. He's getting a lot of his success from backing up counter shots. We saw Stipe. He's kind of along those lines. He likes to back up. He likes to throw big counters. Stipe has the edge on wrestling. I will say this, though, just to throw this in there. I mean, when you can't sell a pay-per-view, which obviously Stipe versus Overeem, if it was the old Uberim that beat Brock Lesnar, then that's, you know, that's the guy you want to be heavyweight champion. It's going to sell.
Let him get out there.
But Uncle Dana pulling a sly move, hey, we know we're not going to sell that much pay-per-views, but hey, let's put our heavyweight champ in Cleveland, UFC has ever been. I know they've been to Cincinnati. They did this with Rich Franklin in Cincinnati, where he got mauled by Anderson Silva. But let's get a huge live gate to make up for the bad pay-per-view buys we are going to get. But 3-1, I'm not a big betting guy, so I don't think that's like a huge odd. Like, I don't think it's absurd that Stipe is favorite. It is his hometown. But if I'm going to put my money down right now, by the history of this heavyweight division, let's look at it. Kevin Randleman slipped on a banana peel, got injured before a title defense, literally right before. Literally slipped in the locker room. Frank Mir fucking got ran over while he was on a fucking motorcycle. Brock Lesnar got sick. Randy Couture fucking just went along and had 2 different disputes. Josh Barnett tested positive for steroids. I mean, the UFC title is cursed like a motherfucker, and it's never been defended more than twice. So is Stipe due to get that one defense in? I don't think so. I think Overeem right now, he just has too much experience behind him. And I also think that Overeem, who won Abu Dhabi once in his career, has underrated jiu-jitsu, and I think Greg Jackson, who is a mastermind, is just going to put up too much of a great game plan against Stipe's coaches, who are a bunch of fucking nobodies in Cleveland. I think Overeem goes in there and shocks that Cleveland crowd, beating down Stipe. I think Stipe got a little lucky to get that belt, but it does make it a little entertaining in the heavyweight division, because maybe now we get, you know, we're doing Kane, non-title fight. But all in all, Andrew, I think Cain Velasquez is going to be our heavyweight champion very soon once again. I believe Cain is going to bounce back from all the injuries and be the powerful Cain Velasquez we knew him as.
I definitely have to agree.
Yeah, so I guess it's my turn to go.
Yeah.
So we have this weekend. This is kind of the card of, and we'll go down the lineup and kind of make some predictions later on, but this is the card of, you know, the most fans are saying, you know, it's the UFC on Sunday night. Most fans are saying, oh, what a shitty card. But if you really look at it, it is the card of a bunch of fights that are going to go down to be fucking crazy fights. In the main event, Cody Garbrandt, or however you say his name, 10-0, he's got the look. He's kind of like a Chuck Liddell of 145. He's constantly, you know, trying to knock people out. He dated Paige VanZant. You know, he's very, he's got the look, let's put it that way. He's fighting Almeida. It's an interesting main event. But another guy that they just battled with Bellator to sign, Aljamain Sterling at 135, is also on the card. And of all these fights, they put Sterling, a guy that they battled to re-sign, on motherfucking Fight Pass. What do you think about the UFC's decision to do this to Sterling? And how are you going to hype this guy up in a division that clearly needs a guy hyped up on Fight Pass? Do you think this is the right decision? And do you think that out of all the fights this Sunday, that Garbrandt should be the main event? A young guy like that going against the number 7 ranked guy, do you think, you know, it's not a legitimate event? So I guess to start off, just basically a two-part.
Is the whole event Fight Pass?
No, it's Fox Sports, but Sterling is on Fight Pass.
Okay. Well, for the Sterling Fight Pass, that's just a move I don't get if you're trying to build the guy up. I mean, especially if, you know, the only way I'll stream, you know, a Fight Pass fight, you know, is if maybe if the main card is pay-per-view and I want to watch the whole thing, you know, get in early. I'm certainly not going to order it. And Sterling isn't a big enough name to get people to get on Fight Pass. I mean, they just had a little nog on Fight Pass, and I mean, it was like, whatever, I'll just get the update from Bleacher Report. So I really don't get that move. I get, you know, Dana, I get the business model. Like, they want the undercard, the main event, and the prelim to have, like, a headliner on it. I get it. But all in all, I think it's dumb. If anything, you move him to the regular prelims and make him the main event of that, or where he gets where he goes. Now, Ryan, about this card, it's funny. Here comes the UFC shit. I honestly forgot for a little bit that the card was on Sunday. I knew there was a card coming up. I wasn't even sure who was on it, to be honest. I don't know many of the matchups, but I will say this. It is nice for them to have it on Sunday. I believe there is NBA Sunday, but everyone knows something I am looking very forward to so much. Memorial Day is on Monday, and your boy has a 3-day weekend. All I can do is get on my knees and thank God for that. So the fact that Dana and the UFC is giving us a little card like this on a Sunday night, hey, at the end of the day, I enjoy watching MMA. I enjoy watching fighting. So I'm going to tune in. And we'll see.
Yeah.
Sometimes these crappy cards like this with a bunch of up-and-comers that, you know, people don't
it's
really know anything
card.
About are hungry.
A lot of good fights with hungry
yeah.
people. Not
you know,
big names.
So I do think of it. Look at it this way. Okay, it's a filler card, you know, whatever, just getting us through the events, making sure everyone on the roster fights. You know, I'm not too excited about it, but I will tune in. And look at it this way. It's a win-win. If it sucks, oh, well, who cares? It wasn't big enough. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be that upset about it. I'll just change
maybe it's
you know,
the new
whatever.
Way to build stars, you know, having young guys yeah. like this headline.
But if it's a good, Ryan, and if it's a good event, you know,
yeah.
and people love it, it's you hit a grand slam. You hit a grand slam with a car like this, if it's good. We'll see. Either off the win-win, we'll see. We got a little UFC on Sunday. Am I looking forward to the car? No. If it's on during the NBA playoffs, will I watch that instead of the NBA playoffs? No. But Oh, it's a win-win, but Ryan, I really don't get the Sterling. Now, my next question for you to keep chugging along. This was one of the more comical things I've seen. Very sad about it. UFC 199 just getting decimated. A card I was so excited for.
More.
Hopefully, doesn't
more
have with 200. So, Mr. BJ Penn, in one of the weirdest series events I've ever seen. So first, BJ Penn, I forget who he's fighting. The guy got injured. They got him a replacement.
And it's Beaver. And then Cole Miller's a replacement.
Then Cole Miller replaced him. Then BJ gets pulled from the card for a potential anti-doping situation. Probably explains why he was trying to come back. Then BJ said that, hey, he will be back from this. It wasn't true. I'll fight the charge and he'll definitely be fighting again. Now, Ryan, is this the last we hear from, you know, the natural, the guy who never trains, but, you know, one of the best ever? Is this the last we're going to hear of BJ Penn? And if it is, how bad does this tarnish his leg? He already went out on a bad streak. You know what I mean? He already went out pretty bad. And just to come back, not even fight and get popped for steroids, how bad does it tarnish it? But does it even tarnish it in the sport like MMA? So is this the last of Mr. Penn after this joke? And if it is, how much worse did he just hurt himself?
You see, this is where the VADA test, we have to be really careful. Because, you know, Anderson Silva, supposedly it was dick pills, and then everyone turns that into steroids. Performing enhancing drugs. I mean, if you look at that, that could be creatine. We don't know what is all in the VADA testing. And, you know, BJ Penn has fought his whole career. He's never been a guy who's really taken stuff like that.
No.
We don't, supposedly it was very small. supposedly it wasn't like a big, I haven't gotten the details, but from what I hear, it wasn't like a big, like he was on HGH or something like that. So you're tarnishing a guy's legacy over God knows what. It could be another.
And what is a potential violation? I'm sorry, I don't get that.
Yeah, it's a violation, but there's just so much now. I think VADA has to definitely come out and just tell us what are these thousands of supplements that they are testing for and make sure every fighter has to go through a class or something like that to really learn what they can take and what they can't take. And BJ Penn, you know, he got rid of Dolce. He blamed him for that Frankie Edgar loss. It was a mauling. It had nothing to do with Dolce. He was in the best shape of his life.
Right.
But, yeah, fighters, you need a guy like Dolce to tell you what you can take and you can't take. But going back to BJ Penn, this is where Bellator makes such a big difference these days, Andrew, because, you know, we could
that'd
say
be a huge
clearly
– sorry,
yeah, clearly, you know, a couple months ago or a year ago before Scott Coker took over, BJ Penn, this is where Uncle Dana would step up like he did with Rich Franklin, like he did with Chuck Liddell and a couple other people, and he would say, I don't want to see you fight anymore. Sorry, man. No. BJ Penn, if he says that, I could just imagine BJ going right to Bellator. All of a sudden, BJ Penn is doing huge numbers on Bellator, and you know he would because he has such a big fan base, and he would have some winnable matchups. We'd probably be seeing BJ Penn versus fucking Royce Gracie. How much numbers would that put up? Like, it would be crazy. The UFC, and he does not get another victory. You got to think that this hurts his legacy so much. But in the end, the BJ Penn legacy is going to be basically a guy who was always too lazy to fight at the weight class he was supposed to be at, 155. Why did he fight Nick Diaz? Why did he fight Rory McDonald right after that at 170 when he was getting demolished? He clearly should have been at 155, just too lazy to make the cut.
Yeah,
and then he tried to make it
by Rory.
and Nick. And, you know, he tries to make this huge cut at the end of his career and then picks Frankie Edgar as his opponent, a guy who had already beaten him twice. It's like, is there any sign?
I forgot
any...
he lost the third time to Frankie.
Oh, got absolutely mauled in the third round. So, he has to be up there as one of the greatest. But, yes, this is tarnishing his legacy. unless he can come back and do something serious. Andrew, my next question for you is a pretty simple one. Would you rather see GSP come back and finally fight Anderson Silva, that dream matchup that we've all wanted? Part of the question I just kind of want to say is, how big do you think that fight still is? Or would you rather see Fedor finally come into the UFC, maybe fight, you know, a rematch with a crappy Bigfoot Silva the way he's looked, the crappy Frank Mir who's always talked shit about him, and maybe just have, you know, a little run in the UFC?
Ooh.
Which would you rather see, a GSP Anderson super fight or Fedor finally coming to the UFC?
Will the Fedor make a little run too?
Let's say that Fedor basically, fights two kind of easily winnable matches, but he could lose, and then maybe gets a rematch with the Werdum, where we kind of don't want to see him have that fight. You know, like, eventually maybe he gets – I didn't want to throw out Fedor Brock because I thought it would be too easy. You know, more of a you get that one super fight or you get that one super fighter.
Oh, man, that's a tough question, Ryan. I'll put it like this. If Fedor makes his debut to the UFC, I would like nothing more. But if he just loses, gets knocked out, I
could
see
Fedor styling on a lot of the heavyweights right now if they give him the matchup.
It is pretty weak. It is pretty weak. And then the heavyweight competition, I'm just saying that would be like worst-case scenario. The GSP-Anderson fight, I think I would be extremely excited for that. I feel like it's a fight, anytime it happens, it will build pretty big numbers. However, kind of like Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, the time has passed. Anderson's lost. GSP's been on a hiatus forever. You know, this is big. If Anderson maybe beats Uriah Hall, because, Ryan, you know I'm the biggest Anderson fan in the world, but, after that loss to Michael Bisping, and Silva's got to really be kicking himself and think if he wanted to make a run at the Bisping, this might be Anderson fighting for the belt if that knee came a second earlier. I'm going to have to say Fedor coming over would be too big, especially if he's able to pull a little run, maybe fight Arlovski again eventually and knock him out again. But Fedor coming to the UFC would be huge. Looking at the weight classes, I feel like also this is something that heavyweight needs. It needs that injection of pure adrenaline. Just Fedor coming over, such a buzz. Now, granted, GSP coming back and fighting Anderson, it could potentially be bigger. But, you know, it is just one fight. But seeing Fedor finally come over and fight some of these guys, I mean, it would be legendary.
Oh, yeah. Definitely would be.
Now, Ryan, next question I have to ask for you. I'm getting very entertained with this. You got to think, both guys' legacies are kind of made partially on the line, this one. This is a huge fight for both parties involved, and we're starting to see a lot of shit-talking come from Mr. Frankie Edgar. Jose Aldo's trying to talk it up like he's the best. He got knocked out so fast he didn't know what happened.
Oh, my God, Aldo.
I rewatched
that fight today, by the way, just to smile.
I maybe watched it 20 times. God, gifts and 15. The fight was so fast, it was a gift. But
and reactions are priceless.
Priceless.
Love the reactions.
But, so with Jose Aldo, this is huge for him because, I mean, he just got knocked out in 13 seconds. He was considered maybe the top 3-pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Conor McGregor mauled him, destroyed him, and now Jose Aldo's coming out and talking like he's actually finally motivated. So, you know, maybe this loss to McGregor did kind of maybe bring back that killer, Aldo. I still think he's RIP. You got to show me it before I believe it again, Aldo. And this is big for Frankie Edgar, a guy, because Ryan Hall, all the fights he's won, if he loses this, he might never get that title fight. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is for the interim belt, but I feel bad, probably the championship belt, because, no, Lord knows how it's with Conor. But, you know, this is a guy who already lost to Aldo, has been on a tear, is finally getting his shot. And if he loses this, you got to think, damn, well, what's next for Frankie Edgar? So, Ryan, and then Vittorio Aldo, if he loses to Frankie Edgar now, you have to think the book is officially closed on Jose Aldo. And, you know, really put the sour taste in your mouth to, you know, this pivotal point in his career when you're looking back at it. So who is this fight bigger for, Jose Aldo or Frankie Edgar? Who needs to win more?
Oh, man, that's probably the toughest question you can ask, because Frankie Edgar is a guy who's been begging for this, you know. He wants that McGregor fight. And if he loses it, because, you know, Frankie's at a point, he beat Uriah down. He beat Oliveira, one of the best featherweights. Then he spanked DJ Penn, knocked out Chad
Mendez.
So quickly.
Cub Swanson.
I mean, that is such a great run. And if anyone deserved that, McGregor, I mean, who knows? He might be getting the press that Nate Diaz is right now if he ever got to fight Conor McGregor. But is he ever going to get that matchup? If he loses to Jose Aldo, which he might never get it anyway because of McGregor's weight, but if he loses this, he clearly will never get it. And also, he won't get that. I don't know how much you want to count an interim champion. I think that will eventually be the champion. Like, they'll just make that the championship, you know, over time. But, you know, this will make him a two-division champion. But Jose Aldo got embarrassed so bad by Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, he has
ceased
to fight
to
again.
Admit it.
I'm sorry.
Ceased to admit it. Not only that, but he let Henan Barral, who's fighting this weekend, go up to 145, like he's the champion, gave him his blessing. Like, Aldo, do you think you're still the champion giving guys your blessing to go up in weight? Like, it's not like you're the king of the division anymore, buddy. Like, yeah, Barral should be able to go up. I don't think anyone's worried about Barral coming and having to fight you for the championship. I'm sorry. You both have been put in the dumpsters lately. But it's just so funny, Aldo's mind state. Some reason he still thinks he's the king of the division. So for Jose Aldo, it's like this is his. And someone described it perfectly. I forget who it was in the media. Is for Aldo, the reason why he never went up to 155 is because Dana always said he would have to lose his belt. His biggest pride is he was always champ. That's all he cares about. So I think that, you know, Jose Aldo, despite all that I said about Frankie, I really think Frankie needs this bad. But the way Aldo got embarrassed, and if he loses again, I just think that mentally Jose Aldo could never recover from this. I think mentally Frankie Edgar can recover and go on another run, maybe go up to 155. Who knows what he does next. But I think, you know, mentally Edgar can recover. I don't think Aldo can recover. Andrew, Nate Diaz pretty much gave Dana White the not the middle finger, but the wagging finger, saying, nah, I'm not going to buy into your shit. The Fertittas and Dana White flew all the way to old crappy Stockton, California. Imagine those billionaires in Stockton. They were probably having security pretty motherfucking tight rolling through Stockton. Nate Diaz said he brought him to the one nice restaurant he knew in Stockton. And it was such a bad meeting, Dana White stormed out. Nate Diaz said simply, I wanted that Conor McGregor money. Pay me what I got paid last time. I want the same amount as Conor McGregor is making. So do you think Nate Diaz deserves that? And if Nate Diaz does not have Conor McGregor, do you think after beating Conor and all this media around him, he's potentially the third or fourth biggest star in the UFC? To give you an example, Nick Diaz usually did about 400,000 pay-per-view buys. That's what John Jones did against OSP. We haven't seen what Nate can do by himself, but do you think Nate could be a draw by himself without McGregor? Do you think he deserves that McGregor money in the rematch? And do you think he is the draw that he thinks he is?
See, before, you know, I can really, if he's the third or fourth biggest draw, I mean, the victory against Connor really helped. But, you know, part of me wonders, is it going to be like a Holly Holm kind of deal? You know, she beat Ronda, was on top of the world. However, then she lost to Misha. If she beat Misha, who knows what they would be saying, because she was soundly willing to fight. I'll be honest, no. Nate does not deserve the same amount of money as Conor McGregor. I mean, that's Conor McGregor. No one deserves that except Conor McGregor, maybe Ronda. I mean, Conor McGregor is just, I'm sorry, Nate, he's in a class of his own. Like, especially if you're not fighting Conor on a card and you still want that same amount of money, I'm sorry, Nate. No, I mean, I get it. You're, you know, but no, you're not deserving Conor McGregor money. It's Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is probably one of the few people that deserves Conor McGregor money, and he might deserve more. However, I think Nate is very smart playing a strong poker hand, and, you know, if Dana wants you to take another fight for, like, maybe your old salary, I don't know how much he's offered him, I would not take it. I mean, look, Nate is pretty much almost retired a couple times before, you know what I mean? And that Conor McGregor victory kind of brought him back, you know what I mean? Kind of rejuvenated his career. But I would wait and cash out again on McGregor, because you have to think this if you're Nate Diaz. I mean,
and if he wins, you know, look at that.
Yeah,
how big he is then.
If you're Nate Diaz, like, you just beat Conor McGregor's ass. Like, he beat him down as much as it pains you to say it. And you made the most money in your life, got the most hype. You had a rematch scheduled. It fell through, and now Dana wants you to fight someone else for way less money. No way in hell. I think Nate could be a big draw, but just the tricky thing with the Diaz brothers, they're wild cards. You don't know what they're going to do. You know, one day you might just say fucking quit.
You
do need to see a tester, Ryan, to see how big that Conor McGregor victory got Nate's numbers. And it kind of sucks for Nate because he has lost a ton of steam. But I applaud his moves. He's smart. I mean, I would wait for that Conor McGregor rematch. Another question I had for you, something you actually just brought up and had me thinking. Henan Burrell moving to 145. This is a move this guy should have made 4 years ago, ever since he hit his head on the toilet and it was the downfall to his career. This is a guy who won 27 fights in a row, and Dana cursed him saying he's the number 2 pound-for-pound fighter. This is a guy, when he was on his tear, he may have been able to beat Jose Aldo. He was something like I had never seen before. Then he ran into T.J. Dillashaw. He wasn't fast enough. His move to 145, can you see him making a little run? And let's say he doesn't have to fight Conor McGregor. Conor goes on to bigger and better things. Can you see him making a little run at 145? Or is it kind of too little too late? This move should have happened 4 years ago, and he just doesn't have the same, you know, it's too late.
I'm going to make it clear and simple. He's fighting Jeremy Stephens, by the way, who hits so goddamn hard. I could see Jeremy knocking Henan Burrell out. He's doing something I think that we're going to see a lot more of with all the weight cutting stuff going on. You know, no IVs, no they're doing a lot of stuff now to kind of prevent fighters from cutting the ridiculous amount of weight fighters would. Like when Weidman cut 15 pounds in a day or something like that, it was absolutely crazy. So Burrell is, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, McGregor, I think that's the secret behind him wanting to go up in weight. These guys just can't cut where they used to be. Burrell, I don't even know if he can get past Jeremy Stephens. Dillashaw showed what, you know, a guy with a great game plan could do, a guy with a little strength, a guy with kind of an equally, you know, good set of skills standing up and on the ground, and it was a vision, you know. Burrell was in such an easier division. 145 has become a little shark's pit. Not only that, but you're going to see a lot more guys doing this. I wouldn't be surprised if Dillashaw, you know, eventually he's moving up, fighting some other people, maybe Mendez in the future or something like that, a little rivalry fight. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple, I know I just said about the weight cutting, but we do have a lot of 155-pounders out there who will get torn apart at 170. I'm looking at you, Anthony Pettis, who definitely should be making this cut to 145, Anthony Pettis. So I don't see how Brow is going to survive in this division. I just think there's too many killers. I don't see him being like another Aldo. I just don't see it happening. If he gets by this weekend, I think he's going to get destroyed when he faces a Max Holloway type guy or someone even a little bit higher in the rankings. But it's a very, very stiff test for his first 145-pound challenge, as we put it. And, Andrew, to finish up my question, because I hear like a motorcycle going by, we heard about it. Mr. – well, you know what? I'll say that Bellator – I like to throw my Bellator news in there. This could be the official rise, finally. Let me just say this. Bellator, in an event kind of in a row, Dynamite event, with Rampage Jackson being the main event and Michael Chandler fighting for the lightweight title, plus the kickboxing matches added on and a bunch of other pretty damn good fights, Matt Mitrione making his debut at 157. Then at 158, they go to Britain, where they're going to have the Kimbo Slice, James Thompson rematch. There's so much shit-talking already with Paul Daly, Koscheck, and MVP on the card. And then, shortly after that, they'll be in New York for Liam McGarry, who trains out of New York, fighting Phil Davis for the 205-pound title. Ratings-wise, you got to think this is a huge, huge, you know, couple of events for Bellator. How big does this look for Bellator towards the end of the year when you look at their ratings? And does this finally show that Bellator can not just do like a one-and-done big ratings event, but can finally string together a couple of huge ratings? And, you know, how does that look for the free agents out there that are looking at this and saying, damn, Bellator is doing some big things despite, you know, using some older names to get the ratings?
It's huge. These are three great cards. And I got to say, another sly move by Scott Coker to have a couple of these events over the summertime, lining up for his heavy hitter pay-per-view, a time when, you know, you don't have to compete with a lot of other sports. NBA will be over. Hockey playoffs will be over. You know, and all you've got left really is baseball. And, I mean, come on, dude. The only sports fans that care about baseball that much are baseball fans. Like, I feel like the other general sports fans would rather watch something else. But, Ryan, this is huge, and it's huge for the free agents. I will say this. You know, Bellator, they've started to put together some really nice cards on paper. They just need the fighters. They need to step up and deliver for them because there are some very exciting cards Scott Coker has made. I was very disappointed.
That horrible
Bellator. And even the one before it that I sat down and I watched, and it was just not – the fighters just did not perform. It did not live up to the name. So this is huge. And, I mean, honestly, a fight like this, you know, they're still stealing guys. People's contracts are coming up. The UFC is in talks of selling. Why not go to something stable, you know, and if you're an older guy, then, yeah, you get your sponsors back. And if Bellator can keep taking the next step and growing, I mean, come on, bro. Come on, people. I mean, of course the fighters are going to take notice to the real opportunity there. You know, slowly but surely, inch by inch, Bellator is making a run. And who knows? I can't wait to see how it looks in 3 years, especially because UFC does not have another mixed martial arts promotion they can buy to, you know, inject the roster talent with top talent. Now, Ryan,
Scott Coker could be the future president of the UFC.
Campaigning for it, baby. Campaigning for it. Now, Ryan, last question I got for you.
Is there
something I've learned in
overtime
sports? If there's smoke, there's fire. All we've heard about lately is, you know, a potential fight with Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. There's a lot of smoke. I think both parties are very interested. I mean, this fight can definitely go over 100
million. Already, supposedly.
I love it. And, I mean, I look at it this way, too, Ryan. That was one of our theories, too. Go back, listen to the show with this first happening with Conor McGregor. Did think, you know, this sounds like this has got some Floyd in it. You know, Floyd was meeting with John Jones, talking about, you know, wanting to get into MMA and then the Conor McGregor dispute. So I got to say this. For Conor McGregor, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he recently just signed, like, maybe a 10-fight deal with the UFC.
Yeah.
Is Conor McGregor regretting signing that big deal with the UFC? And, I mean, do you see him potentially trying to get out of it? Because, you know, Dana will never let this fight happen just off of his pride alone, even though it could it would probably be the biggest fight, arguably one of the biggest fights of all time.
Yeah, you got to say he is regretting it a little bit because his name has gotten so big. And when I look at what Conor McGregor has available in the UFC, if he's not going to go back to 145, there is just some terrible matchups out there. I mean, you got to say Cowboy, you know, it's a potential big-name matchup, but Cowboy has a great ground game also. Rafael Dos Anjos, you know, let's pray he loses the belt if Conor wants to go back down because he could just lay on Conor McGregor. I think Conor McGregor is best at 145, and unfortunately he does not want to make that weight. He wants to do super fights, and in the UFC, there is some terrible matchups out there, so he could be one Nate Diaz loss away from being kind of a slave to the UFC where he loses that domination. Instead, he could be making 50 mil just to lose a 12-rounder to a guy who can't punch, Floyd Mayweather. But the interesting thing, Andrew, real quick, is there was a leaked photo of Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey together, and we all know Ronda is slated for 205. So it could be that Conor McGregor is waiting all the way to UFC 205 to fight again. That is a long wait. And does that mean that Conor McGregor might be boxing in the meantime against Floyd Mayweather? Yeah. Just saying, Nate Diaz was with Ariel Helwani. He said every time there's a new Conor McGregor story with Floyd Mayweather, he gets a new phone call trying to make a new deal.
2-minute warning.
He thinks it's smoke and fire. He doesn't think, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. He doesn't think it's real. He thinks it's both guys trying to make each other relevant still, which, of course, they are. But yes, I don't think the UFC will allow this. And with a guy like Conor McGregor, he has to have all options on deck. He has to be able to, I mean, let's face it, this guy can make way more money promoting himself. So yeah, he has to be kicking himself in the ass for being a slave to that Reebok UFC. Real quick, Andrew, Michael Bisping is now the new number one contender fighting at UFC 199. Oh, he beat Anderson. I know he's on a win streak. Jacare was hurt, but, you know, Rockhold absolutely demolished him in their last fight. I know Bisping is talking trash, saying he's a new Bisping. How bad is Bisping going to get beat in this fight, or do you think he has any chance of looking impressive? It's BK Show 1 at Twitter, on Twitter.
Real quick, no, Bisping, I feel like he has no chance, and if he wins, it will be probably one of the biggest upsets in MMA history. This was a joke of a fight, completely ruined UFC 199. At least Bisping has nothing to lose.
I think it'll at least be entertaining, you know? It would be entertaining
to see Michael Bisping get decimated and beat down, but...
Poor Anderson.
I do not see this happening. And, of course, I mean, Bisping, he's doing a good job.